We'll be looking at 1 Peter 4, 12 through 19. The title of this message is Facing Affliction. Facing Affliction. If you would, take your Bibles in your hands and stand to your feet as we reverence the reading of 1 Peter 4, 12 through 19. The Word of God says this, Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial with which you are is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. But rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's suffering, that when His glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. If you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you, for the Spirit of glory and of God rest upon you. On their part, He is blasphemed, but on your part, He is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, a thief, an evildoer, or as a busybody in other people's matters. Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this manner. For this time has come, for the time has come for judgment to begin at the house of God. And if it begins with us first, what will be the end of those who do not obey the gospel of God? Now, if the righteous one is scarcely saved, where will the ungodly and the sinner appear? Therefore, let those who suffer according to the will of God commit their souls to Him in doing good as to a faithful Creator. Forever, O Lord, Thy word is settled in heaven. We pray in Jesus' name that You'll be glorified through the preaching of Your word. Touch hearts in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, you may be seated. As we can, and we continue on in this great book, and Peter comes back. He challenged us last week to live well in these last days and how we are supposed to represent Christ in all that we do. And then he comes back as he finishes up this section about suffering and affliction. He returns to that for one last time, and he's focusing on this these writings, and he's talking about, really, he's focusing on the uncertain days that this group of this church would be facing. Very soon. Nero was just on the horizon. The greatest persecution of Christians of that time frame was getting ready to happen. And so he's encouraging them through these words. And he's encouraging us too, because we can't relate to what these Christians were going through yet. Will there be a time where you will face persecution? God only knows that. But I hope if we ever do that, we can take these words, we can take the Word of God, and we can apply it to our life to make our stand in Jesus' name. To stand on the truth in love and to represent Christ no matter what comes our way. And you've heard me say many times, it's all right as long as everything's going fine. If you notice, we're happy and, hey, the Tigers won yesterday, right? Woo! Can I get a, that's what I figured I'd get out of that section. Listen, App State won, too. See, we're happy. Everything's going like a football game. It makes us happy, look. And yet, the bills are paid. Everybody's healthy. The cars are running decently good. And we're just happy. You know, everything's good. But what happens if you flip side of that? What happens if your favorite team loses? What happens if the cars tear up? What happens if you get the, I know why you're laughing. But what happens when you get the bad health report? What happens when a child is diagnosed with cancer? What happens when a loved one, Danny was sharing this morning about this lady that got killed in that car accident with her grandchild over in Ashe County, and just to lose her life, the tragedy of that. The last thing that person wants to hear is a cliche. You understand that. And you come up and you say, well, now we know that God works all things for good to those that are loved, those that are called according to His purpose. In your times of trouble, don't be that cliche person. Be that person that brings the love. Sometimes, well, I tell you what, Job's friends, they started out great with him. They just sit there and wept with him for 7 days. And then they opened their mouth and ruined everything. Sometimes when we open our mouth, we ruin everything. Can we say amen? But when we go through the line, when we go through that receiving line, or we go to a home, how many of us is wondering, well, what can I say? You know, that's why it's so awkward when you go through those lines, by the way. Why? Because it's really not anything. What can you say? You can hug a neck, and you can say, I love you, and you're in my prayers, those kind of things. They don't need cliches. They don't. They need the love. They need to feel the love. And Peter's letting them know, listen, you're facing this suffering, and it's going to get intense. And you need to understand that, listen, God had a plan and a purpose even in the middle of our sufferings. And we need to live that way. We don't have any problem. We live in a triumphalistic mindset. You know, we're always trying. We think that we're in Christ, and when we're living our life right, then we're just to triumph over everything. It's all this victory in life. And I want you to know this victory in Christ, but life sometimes is not victorious. Life can have some difficult times. And these Christians were facing that difficulty. And when we face afflictions, how does our life produce this Christ-likeness to the point that people wonder, how can you go through what you're going through in the way that you're facing it? And that's when, listen, sometimes the greatest afflictions and the greatest problems and the greatest difficulties is the greatest platform for us to share the gospel of Jesus Christ and the reason for our hope. You've all been around those people. I can't tell you the times that I've went to people's houses on deathbed to comfort and just to love, to let them know that I'm there and love them and go to be a blessing, and guess what I leave with? The blessing. And there's something about Jesus and that presence and peace that we don't understand. We will one day when we need it. But you go and you just want to love them, and you leave there full because you've experienced the presence of God. And listen, Peter's saying, listen, in our difficulties, in our afflictions, experience the presence of God. Guess what? He's there. He's not left you. He's not forsaken you. How do we know that? The Bible's promised us that. And so I want us to think about this facing affliction, let's look at three truths when it comes to facing afflictions in our life. First, look, don't be surprised. Don't be surprised. Look at verse 12. Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing has happened to you. Peter's saying, why are you so surprised? Let's be honest. It does catch us by surprise. We do feel like sometimes that God is obligated. We might not know that, but our wife will play that out. We think He's obligated to make sure everything works out good for us. But He's saying, listen, the fiery trial here, and we know that Peter's been, he's been rehearsing this since chapter 1, verse 6, when he says, look, in this you will greatly rejoice that now for a little while, if need be, you are grieved by various trials. Peter has told them all along that trials are going to be a part of the church's life. Now, we don't like that, but that's God's word when we see that. And look, we don't even understand what they're facing, but we know why. We know why. Look, verse 14 says, for the name of Christ, because of Christ. They're suffering persecution because they call themselves Christian. We can't even comprehend that. Do you? Do you suffer hardship because you name the name of Christ? Or do you just fit in and blend in with everybody else? They wouldn't know if you're a Christian if you had a cross tattooed on your forehead. Think about this. Peter's saying, listen, because of the name of Christ. And he's saying, don't be surprised. Do not think it's strange concerning, and he makes his statement, the fiery trial. When you hear that, how's that sound to you? Kind of like that hot sauce, right? When you see it on the table and it's got flames all over it, you better be careful, right? When you're putting it all over your food, you think, oh, Merrill, I can do that. I don't know if you've ever experienced a ghost pepper, but I am not a big hot man eater. Now, anymore. It's over, right? Because that thing, they named it right because I thought I was going to die. When you see this flame, he's calling it the fiery trial. So I want you to think about that. And while the term fiery trial portrays this painful experience, listen, he also says that it's used also for the furnace melting, precious metals to purge out the impurities, which are pictured. The smelting process of metal, and when you cook it down in the crucible. The fire is what cooks the impurities off. And Peter says, listen, when you face this fiery trial, because he goes on to say, to which is to try you. See, he's using that idea that the trials are the fiery furnace that cook off the impurities in our life that make us more, you know what, make us more Christ-like. He's saying when they're processing gold and they're cooking gold and they've got it in the crucible and they're cooking, the dross comes to the top, and the way that you purify gold is you scrape the impurities off, the dross off. And they said the way that the guy that's cooking the gold knows that it's pure is when he can see his reflection in the gold. Come on. When he sees his reflection in the gold, he knows it's at its purest form. When Christ gets you to that point, when he's cooked off the impurities in your life and the crucibles and the suffering, and he sees himself in you, he's getting somewhere. The fiery trials he's talking about, he says, is which is to try you. Our trials prove our genuineness of faith. It's easy for everybody to love Jesus and go on when everything's working good. But it proves us how. And please understand this, that suffering in itself is not the glory. It's what it does in our life. Understanding that the purpose of God and the experiences of His children in our sufferings is when we experience Him in a way that we've never experienced Him before. We don't look for suffering. It comes. But in that suffering, we become more like Christ. And He teaches us lessons. Listen, I don't know how many times I've said, I don't want to go through that again. But listen, I wouldn't take anything for what I learned going through it. Have you ever experienced that yourself? The hardships, the valleys of life. I don't want to go through that again. But I have learned, what I learned from that is priceless. And I wouldn't have learned it another way. And that's what Peter is encouraging them. Through it, we learn to trust Christ. It changes our perspective on things. And we get the opportunity, guess what, to bring Christ to a hurting world. Do you understand? You live and serve in a hurting world. People are hurting all around you. Oh, we could put on a great face, can't we? Plastic. That's why most people don't like church anyway. Everybody plastic. How you doing? I'm doing fine, and you be going, everything's going just all to pieces. We don't need to be plastic. We need to be real. When people come in here, they experience real people that's having real problems. You know what? Well, come on in. We love you because, hey, we'll all join in together and we'll pray for one another and we'll do life and death together and we'll go forth in Jesus' name, not with a phony smile, but with the joy of Christ in all that we do, because we have something that cannot be taken away from us no matter what comes. We don't need phonies. We don't need plastic. And Peter's saying, listen, it's through that pain that makes people real. And it's that platform that we can share Christ with them. I don't know how many times have we brought comfort to somebody. Somebody that's going through something that you've went through, if you can stand there with them and say, listen, I know exactly the pain. Why is that? It brings so much more comfort to somebody that doesn't understand. That doesn't understand, but they bring comfort because you can say, you know what, I know I shared your pain. I know what that feels like. And Peter's saying, be that person. Love Christ enough to go through the suffering and come out the other side looking more like Him, because there's plenty of people that'll be in that desert. Hey, dig you a well when you're in a desert. Why? Somebody's going to need a drink of water when they come through theirs, okay? Maybe it wasn't good enough. I'll try again in a minute. Hey, listen. This is the notion. Listen, we're all is well. All is well. The reality is, listen, the reality of Christianity is you'll lose friends. You'll lose friends. Why? People don't want to hang out with a Christian, a Bible thumper. People don't want to hang out. Hey, you're a buzzkill. What kind of buzz are we killing? When our own life speaks about Christ, you're going to lose friends. You're not going to fit in with the world and your crowd. But you know what? You're going to have something that they need desperately. Something they need desperately, and whenever their world turns upside down, which it will, you know what they'll do? They'll seek out that person that has something that they don't. It's based on something that cannot be moved. Why? Don't be surprised at your trials, Peter said. But listen, how should we respond? This is a great question. Or how should we react? That's number two. 13 through 17, what does he say? But rejoice! Oh my goodness. But rejoice to the extent that you are a partaker of Christ's suffering, that when His glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. If you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you, for the Spirit and glory and of Christ rest upon you, or of God rest upon you. On their part, he is blasphemed, but on your part, he's glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, a thief, or an evildoer, or as a busybody in other people's manners. Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this manner. For the time has come for judgment to begin at the house of God. And if it begins with us first, what will the end be of those who are not obeyed or do not obey the gospel of God? So he said, listen. He said, how should we react? The first thing he says is rejoice. Rejoice. That's the last thing that we want to do, isn't it? But he says, rejoice. Why are we to rejoice? And this is it's this continuous attitude. It's not the fake joy. It's something that's built on the joy of testimony that cannot be destroyed no matter what comes our way. There's a joy that goes unshakable. There's a joy that cannot be touched by the circumstances in our life. And Peter says, rejoice in that. To the extent, or really you could say to the degree, Peter's saying that Christians' eternal reward is proportionate to their earthly suffering. You say, what? To the degree, he says. Look what he says. To the degree that you protect Christ's suffering, when his glory is revealed, that you may be glad with exceedingly joy. He said, you know what? Those that have suffered, their joy will be turned to gladness. Their tears will be turned to joy. We see that all through the prophets as he preached in the Old Testament about this time is coming when Christ returns. There won't be any more sadness. There won't be no more suffering. There won't be any more pain. It'll just be a time of being with Christ forever in a sinless world with sinless people. What a thought. And Peter said that the reproach for the name of Christ, his name was the cause of the hatred that was directed towards them. And I want you to know his name is synonymous with the Savior himself. When you call yourself a Christian, you better act like one. Why? You're representing Christ. Do you know that in the book of Antioch, in the book of Acts in Antioch, the Christians were called, or the people were believers were called Christians first. Now, if you study that out, it wasn't like Christians. It was a term of derision. It's those Christians, those little Christ followers, Christ-like ones. Woo! Think about that. Do you call yourself a Christian? Do you act like Christ? Because that's what Christian means. That's what it means. And so Peter's saying, listen, for the name of Christ, all the hatred and the violence in the world against Christians did not diminish their blessedness. And actually, they were more blessed for the suffering that they endured for the name of Christ is what he was telling them. For the Spirit of the glory of God rests upon you. And this is not merely the cause of the suffering. It's permanent. It's permanent, the glory of God. When Christ comes to dwell within us, that cannot be taken away. No matter of suffering can take that away. Because it rests upon us. It rests. That's to give refreshment, relief. You want some relief? Find your place in Christ. That's it. No matter what comes our way, we have Christ. Let me ask you this. If we have Christ, what more do we need? What more do we need? Oh, this whole world, our eyes get big and we want this and we want that. And the truth is, Christ is all we need. And in the end, he'll all you'll have. And that'll be all you need. I promise you, and when you get to eternity, all the things that we put so much stock in that we think so important won't mean as much. It won't mean anything compared to the riches of Christ being in his presence. Being with one another. You want to have church? Let's go to glory one of these days. You want to see church? Man, this is as close as we can get here on this earth, but one of these days we'll be together worshiping him without sin. We'll be sinless. Woo! Won't that be good? We'll be sinless. You won't have to put up with me in my old sinful ways. I'll be more Christ-like than I've ever been. Wow. If I shout now, what's it going to be like then? Maybe we need to shout. Yeah, I bet somebody shouted yesterday when them Tigers won. I won't say anything about not a state getting getting trapped. But we shout and we have a good time and we get happy. Listen, there's nothing greater to get excited about. We're rejoiced, but look, another thing we evaluate, he says there in verse 15, where he said, what does he say? He says there's some things that we need to avoid suffering for. And what did he mention? Murderer, thief, evildoer. And you think, well, I'm pretty good there. But then he says, what does he finish up with? Peter, you just had to go there. Busybody in other people's matters. You know what that word is? It's meddler. Ooh. Yeah, I was feeling pretty good about not being a murderer or an evildoer. Busybody? You mean if I'm a gossip, I'm just like a murderer or an evildoer? You just got to read it for yourself. Does that know what it says? Don't suffer for that. It's the only time that that word's used here in the New Testament. There's a couple times that he just uses, that's one of those words. Peter says, listen, what they're going through, they don't have time to be worried about somebody else and what they're not doing. He says, you need to take care of what you need to be doing. You don't need to be meddling in somebody else's life. Now, we're doing life together and we're all a part of that, but I'm talking about gossiping and meddling and stirring up strife and keeping somebody's ear full of somebody else's business. You all know what I'm saying. Do I need to go into any more detail about that? Is everybody else? Shake your head like this, you understand what I'm talking about. That's right. That's right. We all do, don't we? We don't have no problem with that. Peter says, don't do that. Because next he says, don't be ashamed, verse 16. Where it says, don't be ashamed. When we think, why are we not to be ashamed? He said, yet anyone that suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this matter. He said, don't you be ashamed of the name. Wherever you stand, whether school, at work, wherever you are, you don't be ashamed of the name. You don't be ashamed to call yourself a Christian. Why? But Jesus, listen, Jesus died for you if you're his child. If he wasn't ashamed to hang on a cross for you, beaten to death, a spear plunged in his side for you, for your sin, nothing that he had done, how dare us not be worried about what somebody else thinks? Oh, I don't want to offend them. Listen, hear me well this morning. If you don't get anything else, the name of Jesus is going to offend some people. Okay? Don't you worry about that. It's going to, it always will, until he comes back. If you pray in his name, you call his name, you do whatever you want. Why? Because that's what he tells us to do. And you're obedient. And the only reason that you don't, you're not recognized with that crowd, is you're worried about what somebody's going to think about you. I'd be worried more about what God thought about me. And he said, don't be ashamed. But then last is to understand in verse 17. He says, for the time has come for judgment to begin at the house of God. And if it begins with us, what will be the end of those who obey the gospel of God? He says, listen, the judgment's coming. This was the church that he's talking to. This was that what they're going through and suffering they were going through. And he said, listen, your life might be that you're playing out, that God has molded you into the Christ that he wants you to be. He said, now, if that's what people are suffering now that believe the name of Christ, what's it going to be like when Christ comes back to the people that reject him? I'm going to tell you what it's going to be. It's called a place called hell. That's the last place anybody needs to go. Because God didn't design it for man. It was for the devil and his angels. And I'm going to tell you, if you reject Jesus Christ, that you will go there just as surely as I'm confident and I'm going to heaven, you will go to hell because the Scripture says that. If you reject Christ, that's the only way to get there. So what about all those good people that yada, yada, yada? Jesus said, there's only one name. He said, I am the way. Jesus said this, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one, who's no one? No one comes to the Father except by me. No other way. No other name under heaven given amongst men by which we must be saved. The name of Jesus. So he's getting down here. He said, listen, understand verse 17 that judgment's coming, church. God will purge his church. You sit in these pews day and Sunday after Sunday, and you're not saved, and you keep putting the Holy Spirit of God off, you know what? You're just as lost as the heathen that's out here that's stealing somebody's stuff. Lost is lost. But coming to church ain't going to make you right with God. You come all the time. Being baptized, it'll just make you wet. If you haven't received the Holy Spirit of God, it's not in what we do, it's whose we are. And when you receive Christ, you become a new creature in Christ. And when you're a new creature, guess what? Everything changes. I don't walk the same way. I don't talk the same way. I don't do all these things. I'm not doing it to make me right. I'm doing it because I am right. Woo! Somebody say amen. And that's what Peter's saying. Judgment's coming. And we can put it off and pretend like it's not going to happen. If you ever went to school, it's like putting that paper off. It don't matter how much you put it off, that paper's going to be due. If you're a procrastinator and you're up all night pulling an all-nighter, drinking coffee and energy drinks, listen, there's something worse than the paper coming due. Judgment. Judgment of God. You can put it off all you want. And you can pretend like it's not there. It's coming because that's what God's Word says. Lastly, he says, remember the future. And it goes plays right along with this. Look at verses 18 and 19 as we finish up. Now, if the righteous one is scarcely saved, where will the ungodly and the sinner appear? Listen, therefore let those who suffer according to the will of God commit their souls to Him in doing good as to a faithful Creator. You know what he's saying here? Peter's finishing this section saying, remember the future judgment that he's just talked about. The temporary trials will end one day. But he's saying, scarcely and hardly. He said, if the righteous one is scarcely saved, where will the ungodly sinner be? You say, what's he mean by scare or difficulty here? Listen, it was difficult for Christ to come and give his life on a cross for you. It was difficult for God to step out of heaven into this sinful earth. It was difficult. Why? It cost him everything. And I want you to know something. It's not easy believism when you get to Scripture. It's not a person that says, well, I love Jesus, but I don't ever go to church. I could care less about God's people. I just do whatever I want to because it's an easy believism, and as long as I've got my, hey, I got my get out of free hell free card because I made a little profession of faith that never changed me, and I'm walking on that road. But listen, you don't have any no fruit in your life. Guess what that's called? Lost. And that's sad. I don't say that flippantly. It's sad because so many people, especially in the South, everybody's saved. Everybody's saved. It don't matter how they live. You can live like a pure heathen. But as long as you made a little profession of faith and walked an aisle, even got baptized, I'm right. I'm going to heaven. Listen, Scripture says that's a difficult road. It says, narrow is the way and few find it. But broad is the gate that leads to destruction, and many's going to find it. Which road are you on this morning? Judgment starts with the house of God. It's going to be difficult on a person that's sit under the preaching of God's Word, teaching of God's Word, and rejected it time and time again. If the reward is that much more, how much will the punishment be? He says, when we remember this, we should entrust our afflictions. He said, shall entrust it to the souls of a faithful Creator. And he uses that word Creator. That's the only time it's used in the New Testament. Why? Because it's just everybody understood God as Creator. Peter says, if He's Creator and He made it all, then He's going to, hey, there's going to be a day that He calls it all in. He made you. He formed you from the very beginning in your mother's womb. He knew exactly your life. He knew everything that would go on. Guess what? He sent Christ to this earth for you before you were ever born or even thought of. That's what the Scripture says. And He's our Creator, and one day we're going to answer to Him. He's the author of everything. He designed it all. It's all His. And you walk out here and you see these beautiful mountains, you better praise God. Because ain't nobody else made it. All these things. And He made you. I see the greatest beauty is sitting in these pews. His greatest creation was man and woman. And He made them in His image. Everything else, listen, you go out here and the birds sing and the squirrels jump around. There's squirrels, rabbits, deer, all these things. They glorify Him. We're the only ones made in His image that turn our back on our Creator. And yet, He sends His Son into this earth to die for you and me. That's God. That's the God Peter said. You keep that in mind, man. He has it all under control, and He's Creator even in the afflictions and the suffering. Applications, and we're done. Come and play, man, please. Number one, do you understand that suffering is a part of our Christian walk? We said, well, That's what the Scripture's telling us there. Do you understand that suffering is a part of our Christian walk? If you are not suffering in some form for the name of Christ, I question whether you are a Christian or not. Do you claim the name? Then you're going to be ostracized. There are going to be times where you just don't fit in. That's our extent of suffering. These guys were losing their life, getting beat to death over it. I wonder how many people would be here today if you knew you might get a beating. They's waiting on you right here when you come on into Todd. They's going to beat the tar out of you because you're a Christian. Wonder how many people would have showed up today. That's when you're serious. These guys were serious for Christ. Number two, how do you react when it comes? Oh, my God, please pray for me. I'm going through the hardship. I can't pay my bills. My wife's leaving me. My kids are doing drugs and do all these things. And I'm not saying that we shouldn't anguish over those things, but how about God, pray. Lord, please pray that God will bring that wandering one back. God, please pray that I'm dealing with this in my life. And Lord, I don't know if I can take it anymore. Guess what? He's not going to put on you more than you can take. Scripture tells us that. How do we react when it comes? Is it with rejoicing? Number three, do you trust that the Lord has every situation, even when it involves a suffering and a hardship? Let's stand to our feet. What's God saying in your life? Shut your eyes before the Lord Jesus right now. Just you. Nobody else. Don't even think about nobody else in this room but you. You and God. What is it that the Lord's saying to you right now? Listen, I want you to ask yourself this question. As you're right before the Lord right now, ask Him. And ask this question, have I ever received the Lord Jesus Christ as my personal Savior? Have I ever come to that point in my life where I realize I'm a sinner and I don't have what this crazy man is preaching about? I want you to know that today, you're not here by coincidence. God knew you'd be here and He knew you needed Jesus. Altars open. Come, receive Christ. People are praying. What about you? Something on your heart that you need to just, you know what? I've been ashamed. I've been worried about what somebody thinks about me. I don't profess the name of Christ because I don't want to be offensive. Listen, you carry the banner of Christ, you're going to be offensive to somebody. I don't mean we look to be offensive in no way, but if you carry the banner of Christ, you're going to be offensive. Learn to stand for Him no matter what. People are coming. What about you? Don't be disobedient to the Spirit of God speaking to you. You come. The altar is open. What's God saying to you? Holy Spirit of the Lord's here. What's He saying to you? Don't reject Him. Amen. Listen. Tonight, 6 o'clock, Finger Food Fellowship, we come back and we dig deeper into these scriptures. We sit around and we're just like family. It's like old home week around the fireplace, just talking and eating and talking about things of God. That's what Sunday night's like. If you'd like to come be a part of that, Kingdom Kids, got something for the kids, so come out. If there's anybody that gave their heart life to Christ today, if you did it, you don't have to walk an aisle. You can just come to the realization that I'm lost and I need a Savior. And you just ask Christ to come into your heart. Scripture says all those that call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. It's not in walking an aisle, even though that's a great thing because it's not being ashamed. But I promise you this, if that happens, you're going to let somebody know. And there's going to be a change in your life. And you're going to grow each day in Christ. And so, listen, if that happens, let me know. We want to be a part of that in your life and helping you. And any way I can help you spiritually, that's what we're here for. We love you. You're a part of the family, all right? Donnie closes in prayer.